This is Stuart Corrigan from Vanguard Scotland. Tonight I'm interviewing Graham Hamilton, who's a service development manager at Glasgow Housing Association. And Graham's going to be talking about GHA's journey through the change management process and some of the really quite amazing results that they've achieved. Graham has been working in housing for around 25 years. He's previously been a development officer and held central training roles. 2 years ago, he became a service development manager and quickly moved in to be what was called a business improvement lead, really doing a lot of change management. His current role is supporting local housing organisations to improve performance, and he's been through a number of systems thinking interventions, so he's well placed to really give us a good what's and all in terms of how to run a change programme. Okay, well, let's get cracking. I mean, the starting point is, why don't you tell me a little bit about your role right now in terms of what you're doing, and explain to us what it involves on a day-to-day basis.
Yep, I'm currently a service development manager, and I work out in the west end of Glasgow, where we support 9 local housing organisations. The GHA, for those that know Glasgow Housing, was the stock transfer from Glasgow City Council. And we currently have some 56,000 tenants, 27,000 owner-occupiers who are factored by GHA. So my job is to support the local organisations that are as close as they can be to the front line, to working with their tenants, to having their own local tenants committees. And as well as helping them, it's also about monitoring and supporting them through their performance in letting houses, in managing rent payments, and in driving a great housing service for all of our tenants and factored owners.
Excellent. Okay, so let's start with, go back to the beginning of the change programme. I mean, why was there a need for change within Glasgow Housing Association? What kicked it all off?
Well, back in 2007, the regulator came in and inspected the Glasgow Housing Association. And remember, our stock transfer took place in 2003. So it was an ideal time. We were still a young, new organisation. We were doing, in our eyes, fairly well. The regulator, at the end of the whole exercise, gave us a C rating, which was fair. And in many cases, people saw that as exactly that. It was fair. But when you looked at the detail, there was a lot of areas that we could do better, do much improved outcomes on. And I think in those discussions we realised that what was there out there that would help us do things better, and one of those was a quick look at systems thinking, and that's what we grasped and decided that we wanted to bring Vanguard Scotland in and work with them and have a look at what could they advise us and how could we help ourselves to be an even better and aiming for an A-rated organisation.
Okay. And have you achieved that now? Have you got your A rating yet?
We haven't got the A rating, and we'll be waiting for the regulator coming back again, but we are well on the journey of substantial improvement, I think, Stuart.
So what had you tried before in terms of change, or was this your first big jump into change management and change management systems?
Well, I think it was the first organisational-wide change that we did in some of our core business areas, events and letting. I think in our OD team, our organisational development team, there was a lot of change management. There was a lot of culture change being applied to different teams. But this actually gave us the first holistic look, if you like, at the whole of GHA and starting to think about it from the customer's point of view. Perhaps before that, we were looking at how we can just make incremental change within different teams rather than that holistic, right across the board piece of change.
Okay, and for people who might say, well, you know, that sounds like very nice words, holistic, and from the customer's point of view, I mean, what does that mean culturally? What does that mean operationally for the business to actually kind of live those kind of values?
What we actually did, Stuart, was we got a whole pile of staff in, looked at some of those different areas. So let's take rents and letting, for example. They were very functional in our offices. There were rent officers who did just that. They managed rents, or if we're really accurate, they were managing rent arrears and not so much focused on the payments. And then you had housing officers who managed the lets, who dealt with the empty house, the void work, and then let it to a new tenant. But very little joined up activity was happening between those two officers. So when you talk about looking at it from the customer point of view, you suddenly realise that it's that customer who's going to rent that house from you who wants to live in a great area, a great close, a great street, a great multi-storey block, but who also wants to know how to pay the rent, when to pay the rent, how much that rent is. And we weren't joining up all of those things. We were passing that customer from one officer to another. And in fact, once we really got into the whole systems thinking approach, we realised that quite often they were coming back different days, different occasions, and or even sometimes they were just being asked to go out one interview booth, sit in a waiting area, and then come back into another interview booth. And I'm not saying that happened every time, but that just was the general trend that we started to see happening. And therefore, if we're going to change the service to our customers and make the experience of coming into our offices a better one for them, and a service that was giving them the right information at the right time to make the right decision about the house that they wanted to take as a tenancy, then we had to change the way we were doing that. And the interesting thing was that as we embarked on that with the staff, and as we did some roadshow work with all of their colleagues, staff are saying, but this is going back to the way that we used to do things, and this is what we've been asking for a long time. And I think what we learned from that was that over all of the years, the organisation has just developed organisational functions and attitudes and a culture that actually was going against what staff realised was needing to happen.
Okay. So are you saying that you really pushed against an open door with the staff then? Was there very little resistance? Because most people listening to it would go, well, come on, you know, a massive organisation, what did you say, 56,000 houses? Change can't be that easy. What's your view on that?
Well, change is never easy, and yes, we were certainly engaging with staff who were enthused because they could see some of the benefits and the quick wins in some cases for them as employees about the way that they were engaging with all of our tenants and customers. So yes, in a sense, we were pushing an open door, but it's not easy and it's not been easy. And yes, we've made some significant improvements in our performance in rents, in letting, and now in our repairs management and some of the other, the word we use is interventions with different teams. But we've got a long way to go. We're not in the top quartile of benchmarking yet, but we certainly are an organisation that the regulator's seen has made a big change, that other housing associations and providers across Scotland and probably across the UK have seen to have made a big improvement. And I think we're now riding a wave. Our staff are with us. We're currently going through another organisational review, but we're doing that from a basis of knowledge, which perhaps in previous structural changes we haven't done before. And that's something I think any listeners to this would want to do, is make sure you've got knowledge and base your change on the information that you've gathered.
Okay, so three things so far. One, making sure that you look at the system from the customer's point of view. Second, you're saying make sure that you understand how the whole thing fits together in terms of, people use these words, Graham, don't they? They talk about joined up working, but most people actually don't really do very much joined up working. But you're saying that the real key, as certainly John Seddon's always said at Vanguard, the real key is, before you make any change, get knowledge first. So could you talk for a minute about what does getting knowledge look like in a housing association? What kind of data did you gather that informed the changes?
Yeah, let me give you an example of another example of the area that we worked in. It was our repair system, and we sat down with members of staff from GHA, but also from our building services, who were our contractor. And when you looked at the data, you thought that we were hitting something like 99% success from completing the repairs. But only as you dug into it did you realise that sometimes repairs were signed off, maybe because of no access, and then it was raised again. But the sign-off had happened inside the target timescale that our contractor was being expected to work to. And as you opened up the databases and the spreadsheets of information, we suddenly realised that we had thousands and thousands of data points, with thousands and thousands, therefore, of charges that were being made to the organisation. And we were, in a sense, wasting the time of the operatives who were answering the telephones, taking the call, putting them onto the computer system, perhaps the plumbers and the joiners and electricians who were going out to the tenants' houses to carry out these jobs to find nobody in. And we were never actually asking the tenant themselves what suited them. We were, if you like, finding out that we were suiting ourselves going out between 9 and 5, and it wasn't a time appropriate, and we hadn't actually created any appointments with our customers. So armed with all of that knowledge, we could then start to say, well, how can we change things? How can we make it better? How can we set up an appointment-based system? How can we set up that we make sure that we're measuring the right things, i.e. we're not measuring the fact that the call was closed down within 24 hours or 10 days or whatever measure we were using for the different categories, but actually that we were getting the job done, the right job done for the customer to their satisfaction at a time that suited them and a time that our operatives were able to be out there to do that job. So that's one example of what the kind of things that we started to pull through.
And how much did you have to challenge conventions around current policies and around management thinking? In other words, so many people think that change is simply about changing processes, but as you know as well as I do, that processes are merely a reflection about how managers think about the design and management of work. So therefore, unless you're attacking it at that level, you're not going to get the really big changes that people obviously say that they want. So again, how much did you have to challenge thinking and policy?
Yeah, you're spot on there, Stuart. A lot of challenging. We were lucky that our new director at that time, who is now our chief executive, was right on board with the whole need for A, the change, and B, for systems thinking as a method to do that. And systems thinking, in my mind, only works when you have the leaders right behind the eight ball, if you like, in making that happen. And that was our philosophy after we went through all of these focus groups and early looks at the data and the knowledge and presenting back some of the options. Once we started rolling out some of the changes, and we had something like 45 local housing organisations, Stuart, in our network. Mm-hmm. And once we started rolling that out, it was the leaders of every one of those LHOs, they're called community housing managers, they had to take the lead. We, as service development managers, some of us were seconded in and changed our title to business improvement leads, and we pulled in a few other people. And there were eight of us working on this, and we just spent 3 weeks supporting the local community housing manager to support his or her team to bring about that change. And you're right, what we had to do was awaken them to the potential and the success that they could actually have because of changing the systems they operated, the processes they were doing, and putting a completely customer-orientated spin onto the whole process.
So give me an example of a big policy or a big aspect of management thinking or a measurement that you had to change that most people would say, well, conventionally, we've always done it that way within housing, and that maybe you challenged that.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think the biggest one for us was our rent arrears. That's what managers measured. How many customers were in arrears? How high was our level of arrears? And they didn't focus on how much rent payment did we actually get in the last 4 weeks, nor how much rent payment can we predict that we're going to get in the next 4 weeks. And therefore, how can we predict also where the problems are and the root causes of the rent arrears cases so that we can actually tackle some of those rather than the big, broad spreadsheet with, 2,000 tenancies perhaps on it, if you looked at everyone. So that particular thing. But that led to lots of other issues, Stuart, that's why I think it's one of the big ones to look at, because we were taking something like 600 tenants every month. We were issuing them with a notice of proceedings for recovery of possessions, NPRP, Scottish terminology about taking somebody to court to recover the tenancy because of the level of their rent arrears. And I highlight that as particularly challenging because if you imagine that we're doing 600 a year, over 7,000 that we're doing, 600 a month, over 7,000 in a year, we were clogging up the Sheriff Court in Glasgow. We were really upsetting the sheriffs because it was always Glasgow Housing Association tenants who were appearing before them. They were only sitting one day a week for these rent cases, and because of the volume that we were pushing through, they'd actually increased that to 2 days a week just to deal with the GHA cases, never mind all the other housing associations that were raising eviction actions. And but actually, once you dug in and once your knowledge was getting in there, we found that we weren't evicting anything like 600 cases as you followed it through over the period of months. In fact, it was a very small number that we were evicting. So then you start to say, well, why are we spending all of this money on court, on sending out letters, on raising evictions, on sending sheriff officers to the doors? And actually, are our tenants reacting to all of these letters and legal notices? Or, as we glibly called it, all they were doing was pasting the walls with all this paper that we were churning out and sending their way. So one of the fundamental things that came out of the review was to completely change around the way that we deal with rent arrears, start to look at rent payments, start to identify where the root cause of the problems were. Was it in the relationship that we have with our housing benefits service? Were we actually advising our tenants how much to pay, when to pay, how to pay? Were we keeping on top of them with support up front? Were we doing any income expenditure guidance and support with them? Were we actually giving them any basic benefit advice? And what we've now got a year and a half on is that we're sitting on average about 50 to 55 notices of proceedings going through every month against the 600 that we used to do. A major change in thinking and a major change in the way that we tackled and focused on our rent payments.